Even three men who act like babies. But we just settled on the zone. Weekdays, 10 to 1 on The Buzz. Now, from the Fury Electric Studios, it's time to jump back into the zone.
Welcome back to the zone.
Thanks.
You know, Maduro Cigar Bar and Lounge is celebrating a fantastic year, and they want to thank all the Buzz listeners and everyone else who go by and check them out. Maduro, located at 109 Main Street, downtown Little Rock on the corner of Main and Markham, just steps away from the State House Convention Center. Maduro Cigar Bar and Lounge is locally owned by Michael Peace. It's a large walk-in humidor they have down there with and two large wall humidors. You got a great selection of the finest handmade cigars from the Dominican Republic, Nicaragua, Honduras, Ecuador, among other countries in that part of the world. Best cigars you're ever going to have. They also have mild cigars if you're somebody likes that. If not saying that the ladies can only smoke a mild cigar, but if that's what you like, they got it there. Over 30 specialty cocktails. They got some red sangria. All you got to do is go by there and say, hey, I want to smoke this kind of cigar. Can you pair it up with a Maduro Flight? You'd be very interested to know what those are. 20% off all wines every Monday. That's Maduro Cigar Bar and Lounge, 109 Main Street, downtown Little Rock.
Shay's here from Sync Weekly. While Al Michaels sits there looking better than ever, talking to Dan Patrick on the NBC telecast, you've got Bob Costas. Shay, are you as alarmed at Bob Costas being put on TV as a dead man as I am?
I really haven't watched the Olympics enough to even notice that. So
Bob Costas is dead, but somehow they get him to talk and be on the air every night. It's amazing. And he does a fabulous job, but he looks like he's been dead for weeks.
Yeah.
You know how when you go to a funeral and you look at the person in the casket and you go, oh, they look so peaceful. That's how Bob Costas looks.
It brings up an interesting point, though. Al Michaels, greatest American sportscaster ever.
You know what? We were going to do a sportscaster bracket one time. He's got an unbelievable resume. I love his voice. I think he's fantastic.
He's the top four. He's number one seed.
I put him in there. I would put, Cosell, just because he was such an icon. Maybe you throw in.
I got to go with Marvell, but he's my favorite. I love Marvell.
You like him because he's a freak like Joe Franklin. What about
What about Madden Summerall, man? Those two guys.
Pretty awesome.
Summerall's
Keith
good.
Jackson's my favorite, too, though.
Yeah.
I love Keith Jackson. I think I would rather listen to. I'm a guy that actually likes Musburger, okay? I wouldn't put him
in. Oh, my God.
I know.
No,
see, that's the thing.
I can't. No,
he's
the whole Herbie thing. And, yeah. Every individual player is like a Heisman Trophy winner.
I don't know. Well, he's making the kids feel special. What's wrong with that?
Musburger watches a college football game. He treats it as an individual sport instead of a team sport.
Whatever, handball. Here's the thing about it, though.
Musburger's terrible.
There's only two camps with Musburger. One is I can tolerate him and I'm okay with him, and I hate him.
Or you hate him.
Yeah,
I hate camp.
There is no I love Brett Musburger camp at all.
There's no camp.
No, there really isn't. I'm sort of okay with him. It bothers me when people hate him so much. I guess I don't understand the whole hate thing, but
he's just not a very good announcer.
Well, I'm better than you, so I'm nicer than you, and I'm better than you, and anyway, that's why I keep you around. Okay, so let's talk about it. Chick-fil-A taking center stage in sync. This week, boycotts will be boycotts. So what was your take on it? What did you guys come up with?
I thought it was a great marketing plan by Chick-fil-A and not Mike Huckabee. I wonder what Mike Huckabee's cut was. They had the greatest, one-day sales ever for
Chick-fil-A. It's pretty clear he's been eating a lot of double bacon
it
cheeseburgers.
Is.
I don't know if he's been eating too much in the way of chicken sandwiches.
Maybe he goes to Wendy's, maybe he goes to Chick-fil-A, and he takes them and he puts them together. Mm-hmm. The Baconator with a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Okay. Like, what would you like, sir?
Everything.
I'll take one of everything on your menu, except for the fruit cup.
Mm-hmm. So, we were over at the Pleasant Ridge Town Center during all this.
Oh, yeah. We.
I didn't see it, but I heard it was quite a circus over there at the Chick-fil-A.
Apparently, cars were lined up on Markham at the one there at Park Plaza, same way in North Little Rock as well. I mean, lined up in the road just waiting to go to Chick-fil-A.
Mm-hmm.
Which, no matter if you like it or not, no matter if you agree with their politics or not, I'm not going to go to Chick-fil-A when I know everybody in the whole world's going to be there. Because I'm not waiting in line for a Chick-fil-A sandwich.
Right.
It's not worth it.
You're used to people bringing you your lunch.
Yeah, well.
Typically.
Instead of tying them Sierra Mountains.
Although I see no lunch in front of me right now.
I told you there's a half a po' boy sandwich if you don't value
your life.
You've
already threatened me that, if I try to eat your po' boy sandwich, you're going to attempt to, cause me bodily harm.
I would be willing to give you a couple onion rings. And maybe if a couple of crawfish happen to fall out of my sandwich, you can have those.
And they fall on the floor, I can have them.
You can have those. I thought the best take on the Chick-fil-A thing was the, I can't remember who it was, but it was the Detroit Lions linebacker who said, look, I don't care if Chick-fil-A comes out in favor of slavery. Oh, yeah. He goes, I love me some Chick-fil-A. It doesn't matter to me. So I think most people, if you like the food, you're going to go eat there. If you don't, I mean, I'm again, you know what I am in this camp? Eh.
Spicy
it's fine. I'll eat it
Wendy's.
If it's there. But, I mean, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff I'm just as happy to eat. So what else you guys tackling?
Like I said, I have an interview with Chris Robinson. Of course, the Black Crows are on hiatus right now. So he's off doing his own little
thing.
They're
not on a hiatus. They're done. They broke up.
Well, he says, I asked him about it, you know, whenever I
– you spoke to him?
Yeah, I spoke to him, have an interview with him in this issue. And my last question was about the future of the Black Crows. And he says, you know, it's kind of like a car in the garage. If they need to take it out and dust it off and take it on the road, they can do that. But right now, he's just happy to keep it in the garage.
Well, that's cool.
So, but his new band, I mean, this is – he's 45 years old. And you talk about this – a guy who's got a pretty good life now. I mean, he's already had his one, you know, rock and roll star lifetime, and now he's just kind of on cruise control, doing what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Playing good. The music he wants to play. He doesn't have to fight Chris Robinson. I mean, Rich Robinson, his brother, every night. I mean,
that's a good gig.
Out. It is a good gig.
He
no more Kate Hudson, so he doesn't put with you know.
But he's married that. Again.
He is married again.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, he's married again.
I learned that in your interview.
Yeah, there you go. See,
good job, Shay.
It pays to read.
No, he. Interestingly enough, we've gotten to know Steve Gorman, the former drummer for the Black Crows, and he said that him and Chris Robinson are the best two-man basketball team in all of rock and roll.
You mean handball?
Yeah, handball for your purposes. But he said they would go and they'd play pickup games with different guys at different venues at these festivals and stuff, and he said they'd never been beaten.
Well, you think about me. I mean, you're playing against rock stars. I mean, I can't really think of any.
But they're playing against
athletic.
They're playing against other rock stars.
I can't really think of any. You know, really athletic. You know,
sure.
Rock and roll
I mean,
guys.
To somebody to hold the crown. Though everyone's got to hold that.
I mean,
crown,
I'm sure, like
right?
You know, Mick Jagger was you know good at polo or something at one time. I don't know what the British play. You know, trampoline,
equestrian.
I don't know. They've had a pretty good Olympics.
Dressage.
Pat actually is probably the best 3-point shooting radio host in America today.
Huh.
Does Larry Bird have a show? If Larry Bird gets a show, you're screwed. But until then,
or Reggie Miller.
Tim Legler, does he do radio? I think I know.
I think you could outshoot Legler, yeah, no doubt.
Well, he could shoot it.
No doubt the best one in Arkansas. We can safely say that.
Speaking of athletics, you guys do.
Yeah, Bo's got a heck of a shot, though. Bo can back you down now.
Evan takes on Olympic records and takes a little bit of a historical look at this.
Ah, yes. What page is that?
That is on page 14. You know, speaking of which, I haven't seen this in the New York Times yet, but on their website, they have this interactive graphic where they rank all the 100-meter runners throughout the history of the Olympics. It's supposed to be pretty amazing.
Well, even like the old guys, like 120 years ago, still ran like 11 flats. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing by my standards. But, you know, my best ever was like 11.5, so.
You know, I figured out the other day that people running the 200-meter dash could probably beat me, you know, even like when I was in high school playing sports, could probably beat my 100-meter time.
I don't believe that.
He probably could.
No,
he would come close.
If you couldn't run the 100 meters in under like 15 seconds, I'd be embarrassed for you, and I think you could do that.
I think I ran a 4.940 when I was in high school football, so that's not too good.
No, that's not very good.
No.
A 4.940?
A 4.940, yeah.
It's not
fleet of foot.
That's not the worst.
That's okay.
Also talking some food. We're gonna flip over that because we already talked about food, other food, less controversial food. Tell me about this movie.
You
do this?
I did this.
You did
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
This movie is called.
It came out yesterday, Wednesday. Hope Springs with Tommy Lee Jones and Meryl Streep. And subject matter. I mean, you know, we're talking about a middle-aged couple that's going
they're not
through
middle-aged.
Some problems.
They're old, dude. They're like 60.
Middle age is like what? 45 to 65, right?
No,
something like
35.
65 is way past middle-aged.
Nah,
35 middle-aged is you die when you're 70.
No.
65 is not middle-aged, bro. Sorry. Not even close.
65 is middle-aged.
65
no,
is
anyway.
What?
Shay,
anyway.
You sound stupid right now and you're smart. You're a smart guy. Don't say that. 65 is not middle-aged. You know what I thought when I saw the
I'm saying the range is
all right, 35 to 45, I'll give you that.
Yeah, 45 is the max, dude. But here's the thing. When I saw this movie, because you know what middle age means? It means in the middle, right?
Right.
I mean, in the ballpark of middle. Nobody lives to be 130.
If you
so 65 is not in the middle. But the point is this. When I saw the preview for this movie, Hope Springs, I said,
what?
Oh, yes, I'd love to go to the theater and watch old people hook up. That's awesome.
It gets a little uncomfortable at parts.
Thank you. I don't want to see it at all.
And you take your parents.
You can give us a review of it, and we'll do birthday trivia when we come back. Shay's here from Sync Weekly. Pat's here from The Buzz, and I'm here, too. I don't know where I'm from.